Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Yes, it's Ask the Expert here on Lunchtime Live this Tuesday afternoon. Today we are talking all things cars and motoring. So whatever your queries or your questions, Joey Donnelly from Crofton Motors in Dublin is with me to answer them for you. Joey, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good. 087 1400 106. That is the WhatsApp number for your questions and queries. You can give us a call either 1800 453 106. I know there's lots of questions coming in about people ironing out dents in cars, electrical problems, NCT pretests, all of this kind of stuff. Is now, at this stage, May 2025, before we head into the summer, Joey, is it a good time to buy or sell, or should people hold off?
I was thinking about this question. Used car market tends to be a little bit seasonal, bearing in mind we split our car registrations in two. So in July, you'll have the 252 market coming. So in theory, there should be a cohort of people trading in their cars in kind of early summer, waiting for their new vehicle to arrive on the forecourt. So there should be a few more vehicles available in the second-hand market. The used car market is currently a little bit stressed and stretched post-Brexit. We've spoke about this before.
Yeah.
New VRT regulations and stuff have kind of caused the used car market to inflate a small bit. And for the first time in a number of years, the used car market is actually a bit of it's an appreciable market. It's going up. So your Volkswagen Golf that used to be worth an amount 2 or 3 years ago is probably still worth the same amount today. So it's actually an unusual phenomenon.
So if you're sitting in a second-hand car or a car that's a couple of years old, it's still probably worth its value and a good time if you're looking to sell it?
Yeah, obviously depending on the condition of it. But in general, the used car market, the values have kind of stagnated a little bit and inflated just purely because of the supply and demand issue. There's less vehicles around. The used car market was propped up primarily with the UK import market, and that kind of dried up post-Brexit and with the new regulations. So it's just changed the used car market a little bit over the last couple of years and made it just a little bit different to how it has been.
Okay, look, whatever your questions for Joey, send those in to us in WhatsApp. John is wondering, he has an Audi A5 that requires a bumper replacement. The one that doesn't have fog lights and panel, and is it a panel beater just disconnected to the connectors? There is a facility on the light switch for fog lights, but nothing will happen. Will it pass an NCT? I'm not aware if there's any other solutions to this.
It's kind of a detailed one. This person looks like has got a second-hand bumper, or an e-part, as people would call it, to cut the cost of the repair, which is understandable too. But the part slightly doesn't match what was previously there. So there's obviously fog lights that aren't there now that were there before. So there's a switch inside the car, and if you switch that on, there's no fog lights at the front. So to be honest, I would say it depends on the NCT tester on the particular day and how fussy they are, how attuned they are to that being there. So the other alternative is you'll have to eradicate that switch in some way and reprogram the car. So a little bit complicated, not that straightforward, that one.
Okay, so they as well just go in and try it through the NCT?
Yeah, soak it and see is probably a chance.
All right, Pauline says, I recently got three new tyres a couple of weeks ago and now the low pressure light came on afterwards. I went back to the tyre company, they checked the pressure, everything was fine. I've Googled and tried the reset button under the steering wheel, still no joy. Any thoughts or suggestions?
The joys of the TPMS system. So tyre pressure lights are a bit of a pain in the tyre market, and everybody 10, 15 years ago, they didn't exist and everybody used to check their tyre pressures themselves. So we all rely on the lights on the dash now these days telling us how our tyre pressures are. I would say possibly in the changing of the tyres or previous issue, the tyre pressure sensor, one of the little sensors that are in those tyres, is probably failed, or potentially there's something else going on, or maybe hasn't done the reset properly. So bring it to someone who knows what they're doing just to check it out, or a tyre centre that is really well equipped with tyre pressure monitoring systems.
Okay, but probably she should go back
I'd
to where she
probably
bought
a
them.
Sensor.
She bought
yeah,
three of them.
Maybe. Yeah, they might know a little bit more about it. Yeah. They might have to sell her a sensor.
Okay, listener has a Ford Focus for the past couple of years, really likes it, but is thinking of changing her car. She'd like to get something in between, not the standard car and not a Jeep. What are your recommendations? I love the Q3, but I find it's quite pricey.
We talked about this SUV market at the minute. The crossover market is the new emerging market. Well, not that new, to be honest. It's just the high seating position everybody loves. It's a difficult one, and everybody has to think about it in terms of financially. The cost of new vehicles is quite high, it would be perceived, but how we purchase them is quite different. So a lot of people are taking out finance and stuff. So if you're in a position to finance, go sharp, go shop to your heart's content and suit yourself. But in that market, it really is customer specific. So I'd probably want a little bit more detail to answer that and really help that customer out.
Yeah, but it's probably there's quite a lot of those sort of SUV in between cars, isn't there? Right there,
every single manufacturer these
suit
days.
Every budget, really.
Yeah,
this
I think
stage,
so.
Yeah.
There's lots in that crossover market, the hybrid utility and SUV.
Now, this listener says that that car will not pass the NCT if the fog lights can't be seen. Oh, maybe that's an NCT tester.
Like technically, as I said, it could be a tester there, and they're right. If the switch is there and it's not functional, if they can't be seen, fog lights on a front bumper are an optional extra, so they're not a requirement. Fog lights on the back of the car are an absolute necessity and an essential. And if they're not working, there is some Japanese models, again, an exemption there. But for the majority, front fog lights are an optional extra. Yeah. So if they're not there, they may, as I said, pass. But if the switch is there and the tester goes to press it and he doesn't see a fog light illuminating on the front, he might
have an issue. Now, Breed is wondering, please ask your mechanic if I should consider changing my car as a recent NCT failed due to corrosion on the underbody. It's going to take a full day to repair, which is costly. It's a 2009 used Ford with 3,000 kilometres, so it is beginning to cost in repairs. Any advice or what to check, perhaps with different makes or models when buying used cars? I'm in a little bit of a dilemma, whether or not I should even keep this car. I know how the breeder feels.
Yeah, it's probably the most common conversation we have with people, and probably due to the fact that the second-hand market is a little bit stressed to them and people are trying to have to hold on to their cars. And if you're not financially in a position to go buy a new one, I always say investing in the car you have isn't a bad thing. If an investment of 500, 600, 700 euros or 1,000 euros in an older car, it's much better than going to the credit union and having to take out 20 grand to buy a new car. So I always say it's often better the devil you know. If it's well invested and you also look after the vehicle and the car is in good order, again, discuss it with your mechanic and see what's involved and is there other likely items that you might have in terms of expenditure. I always say to people, maintenance expenditure goes up 10% per annum per every year you've owned the car. So by the time a car gets to 2009 and it's 11, 12, 13 years old, you should be expecting to spend anything up to 1,000 or 1,500 quid a year.
Really?
In terms
That's
of
the barometer,
yeah,
roughly.
Yeah, but like you think about a dishwasher, it breaks and you just throw it out. Cars now are living longer because we're maintaining them better and the market is tough to buy in. So you have to invest in. And I always say the same thing. By the time you have tax and insurance on a 2009 Focus, you've spent more money than the car is worth. So why would you be so worried about spending more than the car's value on repairing it, the thing that actually keeps you safely on the road? So it's a bit of an Irish cultural thing. I think we're predisposed to think about the value of the car and worry about spending more than the value. But eventually the value of the car actually becomes irrelevant.
Yeah, okay. 087 1400 106, that is the WhatsApp number if you have a question for Joey Donnelly this afternoon. This listener says, my car was set on fire during an arson attack, destroying it and my daughter's car. That wasn't insured. My insurance company will not give me a courtesy car or anything until the guards and the insurance company investigate the entire incident. My question is, why am I paying fully comprehensive insurance if I can't get any help from the insurance company until the investigation is complete? I work for myself, self-employed. I did have work equipment in the car at the time, but it's putting us all under a lot of pressure.
Yeah, and that's an understandable one we would see a lot, and you'd probably need to know a little bit of detail about it. But the most common thing is that people have a perception that, you know, I'm claiming off my insurance, I get a hire car straight away and I'm in it forever. If you're claiming off your own insurance, generally car hire is a benefit that you would have opted to buy. The terms and conditions of it generally are for the duration of the repair once the repairs are authorised, up to a period of 5 or 7 days. Insurance companies won't put you in a hire car and put you in it for months on end at 50 or 70 quid a day while your car is getting repaired. So it's a bit of a luxury item that we've again become conditioned to because it was offered by a lot of insurers to as an inducement to get you in and buy policies. And they say, look, we'll give you a hire car. But the terms and conditions of it can be a little bit stickier. And obviously there's a Garda inquiry there where there's an arson attack and it's a bit more tricky. So I would say that's the thing, is people's perception is that because I'm claiming my insurance, I deserve a car. But unfortunately, when you've damaged your own vehicle, it's a luxury. They're trying to get you on the road for a duration of repair up to an amount of days, depending on what you bought in your policy too.
Okay. Now this texter says, I've always driven Toyotas because my dad told me that they are the most reliable cars. I've never had trouble with any Toyota car I've had, but I'm actually sick now of driving the same car and I would like a change. So what other cars are known to be reliable? My dad used to say the exact same but about Volkswagen.
Yeah, well, Volkswagen, probably their reputation slid a little bit, but probably are back up there. The Volkswagen Audi group are still top of the pile, are definitely up there. Your dad's advice was brilliant. Toyota were the best built car in the world and probably still remain that way in terms of we wouldn't see them for very much silly items that we would see other brands. Again, I don't want to be too personal in it. I avoid a lot of the European brands, the French ones. I don't want to speak ill about any other brand. But just when it comes to vehicles aging, nothing ages like the Korean and Japanese built stuff. So your Honda, Kia, Hyundai, Toyota. I'll exclude Nissan from there. They used to be an Asian brand, but they're actually owned by Renault now. So you still want to be in those brands. Buying for comfort and taste is a very different buying experience. Mm. If you want to buy something nice, stay in that German brands. They're really lovely. They've got some excellent, you know, in-car entertainment, bells and whistles. If you want something, the Toyotas can feel a little bit plasticky, I've heard people say.
Plasticky, right?
Yeah, I think people get a bit bored of them. They're a bit, they can be a little bit bland, but again, they're coming with some really, really nice stuff too. And, you know, all the new makes and models have all of the gadgets.
Like the cars and vehicle shapes though, Joey, and in terms of, as you said, the kind of the in-car entertainment and the display and the dashboard, like they have altered and changed so much in recent years. Like it's incredible.
Yeah, it's like driving computers or driving an iPad sitting in front of you. And actually, look, there's some research that says they can be quite distracting too.
Talked about that before.
But yeah, the design is completely different now from what we're used to. But it's funny, a lot of the manufacturers now, because they've had so much problem with a lot of that digital stuff, are starting to move back to your more traditional dashboard setups and bits and bobs, just because they've faced some big warranty bills and reliability issues due to chipsets or shortages and that sort of stuff. So all those nice things do come at a price.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people got caught too during Storm Éowyn in terms of power shortages and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of people ran into some difficulties
about four-wheel drives, exactly. Yeah.
We'll have to get you back another day again. Joey Donnelly from Crofton Motors in Dublin. Joey, thanks a million for joining us for this week's Ask the Expert.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.